Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
If you build it, he will come.
It's the City on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
I came across an interesting stat this morning, and it's one that you might want to put in your back pocket for the... Yeah, I don't have you on yet. You're good. Okay. You're good. You're good. It's one that you might want to put in your back pocket for when you make your picks for the NCAA Men's Bracket Challenge. It's very, very interesting. And it's not a small sample size. So we could talk about that. High school hoops coming up tonight. I'm not going to maybe call it shocking return, but... darn sure surprising with news yesterday that Danny Stutzman is headed back to Oklahoma. I can't wait to get Jared's thoughts from the journalistic side of this, because it sounds for all the world, even his dad kind of poo-pooed the notion that people didn't have the story right last week and that it truly was a young guy changing his mind between... when it was started to be in report, I think that was Thursday of last week, or Wednesday maybe, because I was sitting here when it happened. I wasn't on the road when we talked about it. So, you know, over the weekend, all of a sudden, maybe a change of heart from young Danny Stutzman. And he's coming back. Huge. Golly, talk about, you know, you talk about the portal and losing and gaining. Well, if that counts as portal, the Sooners dominated over the last week with Billy Bowman and now Danny Stutzman both back. Those are two huge pickups, or keeps, as it were. Big time day in Oklahoma City today. The arena vote is today. We'll talk about some pros and cons. What would it mean if it gets voted down? The economic impact numbers versus the cost of the construction. And then in an NBA thing, did the in-season tournament work for you? And if it worked, how would you tweak it to maybe work better? And, of course, the NFL right off the top of the show. Mike Vrabel should be everyone's player of the week this week for what he did last night. And it's been an ongoing debate. And it goes against conventional wisdom. But it's 100% the right thing to do. What was that in that game last night? We'll tell you. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can stay in touch a couple of different ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight. ThePennyNews.com. Big Elk and Paragon TV as well. Paragon TV on the air tonight. Not going to see Big Elk TV. Elks and Elkettes don't play till Friday. It's Saturday. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast, of which there is one yet from yesterday, even though I had to delay the show about 5 seconds or 10 seconds to walk around there, and I remember to record right as the intro quit. So I warned everybody, hey, you're going to have talk amongst yourself for just a second. But I did get it recorded yesterday. I think when I went to stop it, looked like we had an interruption. So I'm not sure exactly what's there. But anyhow, it was not my fault if we don't have one, because something went wonky with the internet. How are you today, Jared?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful.
A lot has happened since we've seen each other last.
It feels like a while. I guess I actually did get to see you Thursday morning before I left. We actually saw each other.
Yeah.
For just a second. But then after that, yeah. It's no Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and here you are Tuesday. We don't normally go that many days without seeing each other.
No.
Good or bad, whatever that means.
Well, yeah, it's something's going around. I got it, so I had to take a day, but I'm good to go now. Got a little tickle in my throat, but I'm good to go. You know when you get sick and you wake up and you kind of gauge how you're going to feel the rest of the day. Today I woke up, I feel great. I feel good. My body is telling me you're okay. So here I am. in the meantime, though, did you talk about your adventure coming back?
I did.
It was
the entire first segment yesterday.
Saturday I went to urgent care, and I was actually in because I was using the Hummer to go back and forth to Moreland. And I thought, okay, after urgent care, I'm just going to swing by and get my truck back. And I pull back in here, and I notice there's no spare tire on the back of the FJ. And I audibly go, oh. It's like Aaron had a bad day. And I didn't have a chance to get the story. So okay. just a simple blowout, or you didn't hit anything, did you?
No, just I blamed it yesterday on my stomach because I didn't eat on Friday morning. I would have had some time in between the girls' game and then the second boys' game, but the boys lost. So, you know, it was 1 o'clock. I was done.
Yeah.
Had plenty of time to get back to do, logs and sports or whatever. And so I decided to go back a different way and go through Altus and visit Pick Up Taco.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Okay. So you told me between Duke and Altus, I thought, well, which way is he going this time?
That's the only reason I went that way.
I gotcha. That makes sense.
It was going to have plenty of time to do that and then come get back here to cut the sports or whatever. And about 2 miles or so out of Duke, going east on Highway 62, kind of, you know, you feel that hiccup. And those tires are so giant, it's better really on those than it would have been on a normal, car tire or whatever. And I felt it. And I think that there was a truck in front of me that saw it. Maybe saw something go flying off to the side.
Yeah.
Off the tire. He kind of beeped his lights at me as I was slowing down and starting to pull over to the shoulder, as you could start feeling it kind of,
right.
With those knobby tires. And
yeah.
So I got her pulled over there. The tire change kit that comes with the FJ was utterly useless.
Oh, no.
Because of the tire that's on there.
Oh.
You know, it's not something you'd really think about, right? Until you get in the situation.
Yeah.
And then you realize none of this matters.
Did
because
it not it, fit the lug nuts?
I couldn't even get the hubcap cover off with what we had.
Oh, no.
And thankfully, an ODOT guy and a rancher both stopped.
Oh, good.
The rancher had an Allen wrench to be able to, the right size to get the hubcap covers off.
Right.
And then he's like, hand me the tire iron. Well, I handed it to him. We both kind of at the same instant as he started to go, he goes, well, this ain't going to work.
Yep.
And so he ended up having an impact wrench that had the right, So we got it taken off and put it back, put the spare on and made those lug nuts work. They're not the right ones, but made them work. And so now it's just a matter of getting a new one put on that puppy. But for future reference, we need to,
maybe get a new...
Well, have tools of it. I mean, yeah, there's just
that,
no...
But tools at work, yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's. It was probably... I blamed my stomach, but I'm also going to give my stomach credit because that going that way just happened to be a God thing that people
that
had the capability of helping were... at that location
right.
at that time, right? Because, I mean, whether or not you knew how to fix a flat tire or not, it made no difference with what you had.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting experience. But, man, those guys, it was really, I thanked them 100 times yesterday, and I'll do it again today.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really good. So it what looked like it was going to be an absolute nightmare turned into a pretty easy little deal. And, out the tire shop at Altus that we went to, they didn't have anything on hand. So I just limped her back And I mean, when I got home, I stopped at the house because I was coming from, you know, where I was coming from to put my stuff into Kara's car for Saturday.
Yeah.
And Wyatt was like, you think I can tell which tire blew? And I was like, I doubt it. Probably the one that's about a quarter of the size of the other one. He went out there and he's like, oh, yeah, it was easy to tell. Like, yeah, no kidding. No kidding, bud. I was being sarcastic. A blind person could have told which tire blew. But it ended up, what seemed like was going to be an absolute nightmare turned out to be okay.
That's all right.
Wasn't that big a deal at the end of the day.
I just tell you, the FJ looks funny without no spare tire in the back.
Well, and
it looks kind of funny.
I was able to stop Nathan just in time because I didn't even think about texting him for Monday. And I was able to stop him just in time when I got to work yesterday. He was bouncing in there. And I was like, whoa, no, don't do that.
Yep.
Whatever you do, don't do that. All right, NFL. What an interesting weekend this was. Last night, the Dolphins had a 14-point lead with under 3 minutes left. Courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info. Just off the, I mean, this is going to have to be a heck of a guess, but just fire out a guess in there. How many teams in a row, when leading by 14 with 3 minutes left, had gone on to win the game?
Winning in the NFL. Winning by 14.
You're up two touchdowns with 3 minutes ago.
With 3 minutes left in the game. How many teams in a row? So a streak was broken last night.
Correct.
I will say 58. Just random number. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, try 767 in a row.
That's it? I thought there'd be a few wins.
767 straight. Teams that had led.
See, my mind said 200 something. I thought, no, that can't be. There has to be. Somebody had to make some miraculous, you know, touchdown and
like an onside kick or something.
Yeah. And went for the win, went for two. I figured there's one or two of those in there. But wow. So what was the, without looking, I don't know. I'm sure you can go back and look. What was the percentage of chance of win? You know, you can see where it says Dolphins have this percent of chance of winning.
Oh, 99.9, surely.
Exactly.
I mean, if it's 1 in 767.
It has to be 99.9.
I would think so, too. But the Titans, and the Titans did something, and I've gone over this article before. ESPN, it was Sam Walder, ESPN Analytics. The story was originally run. Oh, here it is. I can tell you even when it happened. The last time that it happened.
Okay.
November 11th, 2019.
November 11th, 2019.
Green Bay success. Well, the last time somebody went for two after scoring down 14 and won the game. Green Bay beat New Orleans. Maybe on November 10th, 2019. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's what Vrabel did last night. Down 14.
He went for two.
Under three. He scores the first touchdown, goes for two, and gets it.
Analytics tell you to do that.
Analytics,
right?
100% tells you. It's 50-50.
It tells you what to do in the second touchdown, right?
If you get it.
You mean, as the team.
Yeah, if you get it, you obviously kick the extra point and win.
Right. But if you don't, then you know what you're doing the second touchdown to try to go for the tie.
That's right. It gives you a better chance to win.
Yes.
And so it goes into the percentages. And so.
Only reason I know that, because I was watching football on Sunday, and I forget which game it was, but that scenario. Oh, I think it might have been Jacksonville. Help me.
It was.
Cleveland?
Cleveland, yes.
And he said it. He goes, so they got to go for two now. So that's the only reason. I'm not trying to sound smart. I'm just copying what the guy said in that game.
If you go for two, if you convert it and then successfully kick an extra point, the second touchdown, your chances to win are 45%. If you convert on the second point attempt, miss, and tie in regulation, the chance of that is 3%. You fail on the first two, succeed on the extra two to send it to overtime is 25%. And the chances to fail both are 27%. So what it's telling you there is, it's completely obvious. You have a 70% chance at winning if you put the 45 of getting the two and then kicking the extra point to win as what happened last night. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a 73% chance versus the 27% chance just to miss them both and lose. And then once you get to overtime, you know, the chances are whatever they are. But you never see it.
No.
You still never see this happen, and that's why it's like every time it does, it's like, whoa, hey, there we go. It hadn't happened, and it's only happened like twice where a team even tried the first one, much less be successful, just even tried it. And I can't believe with all the analytics that are going on, I can't believe this hasn't caught on. It just sometimes conventional wisdom is really, really harder to break. And I really can't believe it doesn't happen more often now that the extra point has been moved back the way it has.
Yeah, I know.
That to me, that gives even more incentive for this strategy to be employed. And it's still not. But kudos to Vrabel last night. Man, it just when as it was happening, I'm like, yes, yes, this is that article that we've read for like four different times on the show. And so, way to go. Now, Dolphins-wise, who had the worst loss this week? Was it said Dolphins? Was it the Steelers all the way back on Thursday night losing to New England at home? Or was it the Lions losing to the Bears?
I was waiting for that one. It has to be the Lions. The Bears are abysmal, but so is New England. But I didn't think there's any way they'd lose that game. Talent versus talent. They looked a mess from what I saw. A mess and as bad as New England looks, it's still Belichick. And then the Steelers with their offense that's always kind of, you know, flip a coin and you don't know what you're going to get. You can get outgained but still win a game. Or, you know, that's playing with fire in my eyes. So that one I'm like, okay, well, that one I get. But I don't get losing to the Bears like Detroit has. And they've kind of floundered lately. Detroit is kind of...
Yeah, they lost the Thanksgiving game. Another one that was like, what are you doing?
Right. And that's a big one, the Chicago game. Like, well, what's that? One, yeah. What are you doing?
I think it hurts the Steelers the most because you look at those other two teams. The Dolphins still have a two-game lead in their division, as do the Lions have a two-game lead. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whereas the Steelers, if they win that game 8-5, they're right there with the Browns as the top two wild card teams. Instead, the Browns are the first wild card team at 8-5. Then you've got Bills, Steelers, Bengals, Texans, Colts, and Broncos all at 7-6. So they, you know what I mean? Steelers could have been a game ahead of a giant tie.
Yeah, kind of missed opportunity.
Yeah, it hurts the Steelers the most losing that game, but it's probably least surprising because you're right. Eventually, those things catch up. We saw it last year. It took till the playoffs for the Minnesota thing to happen where they're winning all those close games and pulling them out of the fire. You knew that was going to end at some point, and it just happened into the playoffs. Whereas the Steelers won, what were they, like 6-3 for the first nine and got outgained in every one of them? You know, that has to catch up to you at some point.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to be the one seed in the AFC? When you look at the contenders, only Baltimore won, and they had they shouldn't have. The Rams should have beat them.
They really, yeah.
Dolphins lose that game. The Jaguars get beat by Cleveland. The Chiefs debacle at the end. Does anybody who is the best team in the AFC?
Man, your guess is as good as mine. Who are we calling contenders for the one seed? Ravens, Dolphins, Chiefs? Maybe Jaguars, like you said?
Yeah, maybe.
I would say the Ravens are probably going to pull it out without looking at the rest of their schedule.
All right. They've got at Jags, at Niners, Dolphins, and Steelers at home. That's not easy. Kansas City has by far and away the easiest schedule of these contenders. They have, got it right here, pulling up. Come on. They have at Pats, Raiders home, Bengals home, at Chargers. That is way easier than what the Ravens have.
Yeah, should be.
Dolphins have Bills and Cowboys, I know for sure.
They got Jets, Cowboys, at Ravens, Bills. So they got one on the road out of their next four.
Dolphins.
That's not bad for Dolphins, yeah. Hosting Cowboys and hosting Bills will be tough. Of course, those last three, though, those are three really good teams. And someone on the text line, I agree. Buffalo, they're kind of figuring things out, too.
I do not think – I mean, there's no way Buffalo is going to be the one seed. They're going to be –
No, I'm not saying they're the one seed.
They might win the division.
Yeah.
They have the head-to-head game with the Dolphins. They've already beat them once. So if you're a Bills fan, you've got to win out, and then you're rooting for Cowboys' best chance to knock off the Dolphins as well. Yeah, that was a huge loss for Miami last night.
Yeah.
Instead of having a three-game lead with four to go, now it's down to two. One of those games is head-to-head, which you've already lost. Like, you know, that's for the tiebreaker. That was a massive loss for Miami. I think it's I was looking at scenarios. It's as much as it seemed like Kansas City was done as the one seed on Saturday or on Sunday night, they don't need that much help for them because they've beaten the Dolphins, so they have the head-to-head tiebreaker there. They've beaten the Jaguars, if that would come to pass. And then they've still got a better conference record than Baltimore right now at 6-2 versus 6-3. So it's still not out of the realm that the Chiefs could end up being the one seed.
Is that just a testament of the difference between the NFC and the AFC?
We're
talking about the Chiefs who have lost, what, four of their last six? Is that right?
Two in a row.
I mean, they're not exactly Chiefs of old. Here they are still contending for a one seed in the AFC. Well, is that just because the AFC is just that down this year?
Yeah, four of six. Well, that's the question. Is it because there's more good teams in the AFC that are knocking each other off?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. Conversely there, it's just kind of cannibalistic, where they're just kind of beating each other up. I can get that, too. I can get on board with that, sure.
And then once it, you know, whoever kind of rises out of that heap will be a better team. I don't know. Because when you look over there, you look at the other side, at the 3-10-3s, in the NFC, and I guess you could probably – I mean, Detroit doesn't look on that level right now. They did for a while, you know, lately, maybe not. I think it'll be interesting because I think however the AFC shakes out, you're probably going to be able to build a case for like four or five of those teams – to come out of the AFC to win the Super Bowl, right? Division winners, you could probably build a case for any of them, and then the Bills obviously are a team that, you're right, they seem to be kind of dangerous, lurking in the shadows. You know, the Browns defensively are so good, or were so good, is that one, you know, even though they're going to have who knows who at quarterback. And then I'll tell you another team that you don't want to play. It's Denver.
Yeah.
Man, Denver, which didn't even seem a possibility in week three, as they went to 0-3 and a 70 burger put on their head by the Dolphins. And now all of a sudden, you look up, Sean Payton's got Russell Wilson looking more like the Russell Wilson that maybe we're used to. They've won six out of seven. including wins at the Bills. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Packers, who were suddenly pretty good. Beat the Browns. You know, Denver is kind of, if they can make it into the bracket, they're probably not one you want to see across from you. Not that they can necessarily make the Super Bowl. They can keep you from it. Whereas on the other side, I mean, whoever wins the NFC South versus whoever doesn't win the NFC East, either Philly or Dallas, does anybody in their right mind think Philly or Dallas can't go on the road and beat Tampa, Atlanta, or New Orleans?
Right.
I said yesterday, if you're Dallas or Philly, whoever doesn't win that division, I think you're probably rooting for anybody but New Orleans, just because Derek Carr has been in the playoffs and that atmosphere in the Superdome that can be created. That would probably be your last choice of going to, versus Desmond Ridder or Baker on there. I mean, is anyone scared of any of that if you're Philly or Dallas?
No.
You know, Dallas went down there last year with Tom Brady and made them look foolish in that playoff game.
Yeah.
Now, you just don't see the danger. I don't see the danger outside of the top three in the NFC like you can find in the AFC to me. You know, it feels like you're gonna have Dallas, Philly, and San Francisco. And two of those teams are going to have to play each other before they play the other one.
Yeah.
Kind of akin to last year when Dallas and San Francisco had to play in the division round, then the winner had to go through Philly. Whoever is on that opposite side is going to have a huge advantage to only have to beat one of those two instead of both of them.
Yep.
Who's your top five?
I say, listen, I'm putting it out there. I did my top five, and then I always do that, and I go to ESPN to see what their top five is, mm-hmm. and it happened to be the same. But I was reluctant on number five. So my number five is Dolphins, but it was kind of like, who else am I going to put there? Right? I mean, Detroit?
I don't have anybody on five. As five. I can't. I don't know who.
You can't.
I went through the list. I'm not. I still haven't decided who five is.
It turned into me going, okay, Dolphins versus Detroit. I'll take Dolphins. Dolphins versus who else would you throw there?
I mean, record wise, Jacksonville, Cleveland,
right? And
Detroit.
I would take Dolphins. So that's why I just reluctantly put them at five. At four, I put the Eagles. Three, the Ravens. Number two, Cowboys. They're riding high in Stephen A. That clip I saw yesterday about him. You'd say just that's the thing that kept running through my head watching them on Sunday night. And after, you know, never felt like they're going to lose that game. And then I kept going back like, this just feels different. Here we are mid-December, and they feel different. They feel like they're a different team. So in the past, I would be like, yeah, this is nice. We're getting this win. But, you know, hell, they do some silly things, and they're just going to do what they do. But it does feel a little different. So I'll put them at two, and 49ers are just really good. Really good at number one.
Yeah, I got Niners one. I have Ravens two. Dallas 3, Philly 4, and I literally don't have anybody at 5. I just went cranking down through there. I liked it, and then went to 5. Like, who in the world?
I think
I would put Buffalo number 5.
I thought about them, too.
I really do.
You feel good about them as opposed to Dolphins or Detroit or Jacksonville.
Kansas City, yeah. You know, they just beat Kansas City.
Right.
They've already beaten the Dolphins, the one game they've played against them. You know that I know their record isn't probably worthy of being the fifth team on the list, but I think I would put them there.
Yeah,
as far as kind of the way they're trending.
Now, can I omit mine? Can I put the Bills there? I'll do it.
Put the Bills.
Yeah,
I've got the Bills five.
Yeah, I'll put the Bills there,
and maybe even the Broncos before. You know, that's a little, maybe a stretch ahead of the Chiefs. They split this year, but Broncos just seem to kind of be that team that's rounding into form. They're winning games a bunch of different ways. You know, this week they got Justin Herbert knocked out of the game and just pounded the Chargers.
Yeah.
You know, not that I trust them, but, man, Sean Payton. If anybody didn't think he was worthy, you know, if he was a good coach or not, man alive.
Yeah.
That dude. Think about if he was in Dallas. how much more secure you'd feel about the Cowboys' chances versus Mike McCarthy.
In the past, absolutely.
We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medication safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Yeah, they say this guy scratches himself better than he throws a ball.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. You know, we always start with the medical stuff, reading right down the bullet point list. Yeah. Let's not do that today.
No, no.
Let's highlight, yes, there's all that, and we'll get to that later in the show, but it is the season, right, for – you know, dirty Santa gifts or, you know, whatever kind of stocking stuffers, gifts for your wife or your girlfriend or your husband or your boyfriend. Paul Jones Drug has all that kind of stuff down there, 809 North Main. Go check them out for all those types of gifts. They've got greeting cards, good, cool stuff down at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main. For all your gifts and your greeting cards for the season, the Christmas season or the New Year's. You know, some people send out New Year's, you know, Happy New Year card.
Yeah.
There's all that kind of stuff down there at Paul Jones Drug. Thank you to Rodney Skinner and all the gang at Paul Jones Drug. They provide care you can trust. Man, it is a big, big day in Oklahoma City today, Jared.
Absolutely.
The vote to pass the funding to build a new downtown arena in Oklahoma City that would house the Thunder, that would then be, the Thunder would commit through the year of 2050 as far as the lease agreement. I'll be honest with you. I feel like the people that are opposing this have done a way better job getting their talking points out in front of the public than what the folks supporting this, including, you know, Mayor Holt. It sure seems that, you know, when people ask you, you think it's gonna pass? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, are you sure? And they rattle off the talking points against. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
It just seems like that the no's have done a way better job so far of getting the information out than the yeses.
Here's the thing. With me, and I know, we're a sports show, and I should do a little bit more homework on this because we do follow the Thunder, but if I don't have a vote, then I don't do homework. Does that make sense? Like, I don't have a vote. So I just have to sit back and watch and see what happens. But the little I know about it is it's an extension, right? Not –
I think it's a 6-year penny sales tax extension.
One penny, a penny to the dollar, correct? Extension. So it's not an added tax. So if you're, but we do shop in Oklahoma City, so a lot of us do, and you know, so that is a lot of our money too going towards that. But that's just so you're not seeing raised taxes; you're seeing extended tax. I have no problem with that. I think that is a genius way of getting something that you want for your town is extending something because you're not burdening something on the public that's, you know, you're not adding on to something. You're just extending something that's something that's you're already budgeted for, you're already spending on. I think that's a no-brainer. And it's an absolute no-brainer, to, in my opinion. If I'm endorsing anything, it's obviously yes on this vote because keeping the Thunder in Oklahoma City, not just for the entertainment value, but for what it means financially for not just the city of Oklahoma City and downtown Oklahoma City, but as a state, I think it's huge. So and it's not just the Thunder that benefit from it. I just mentioned that downtown Oklahoma City and everything. Well, that's because, you know, you got a nice new arena. You get those nice, fun concerts that keep coming to town, those events, who know, you know, it could attract NCAA tournaments to Oklahoma City, both men's and women's, maybe even some wrestling events, national tournaments, stuff like that. So it's more than just keeping the Thunder in town. If they go away, that hurts. It hurts. So I'm curious, what are the talking points opposing this? I mentioned all the pros, but what's the opposition of it? And I keep hearing that it's a bad deal. Why?
The biggest one is estimated $900 million cost, of which the Thunder would contribute only $50
million. Okay.
And so the taxpayer, the sales tax would subsidize the rest. So 850 out of the $900 million. So that's probably where the quote unquote bad deal is. In the minds of the people against it, also I think 24% of the Oklahoma City sales tax revenue would go toward the building of this, and that's a pretty big. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big cost. Yeah, I've seen conflicting things. So,
yeah, I've seen conflicting.
I've things. I've seen numbers number wise. I've seen that the Thunder themselves, the economic impact of what the Oklahoma City Thunder brings to Oklahoma City on a yearly basis is 500. I've seen 590. I've seen $600 million. So in $600 million of economic impact per season, it takes a season and a half for the impact that the money the Thunder generates that goes into the coffers of Oklahoma City to pay for the taxpayer side of this. And so from, let's say it starts in 2024, if you want to start counting then, by mid-season 2025, the impact that the Thunder has made economically to the city has already, you're already at a wash.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
the cost.
Yeah.
Which means then, I mean, I think it's either 28 or 29 is when this thing would be open. So if you just use the economic impact numbers that the Thunder are generating, they will have paid for this two or three times by the time the thing is even open. Much less the gravy that's on top of them, keeping them there till 2050. No, it's not the Thunder's arena. That's 100% right. It's the city of Oklahoma City. And another thing that's not out, this is kind of the point that I'm making about the yeses not getting, at least to us, maybe they don't care about us, and so we don't know them. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. we don't vote. Right. Now, we do contribute, maybe not a ton, but every time you go to Oklahoma City, this will be contributing to the payment of that.
I can promise you it costs a little bit for us every time we go to the city, yeah.
But so what is the lease that the Thunder will sign as far as how much money does that generate back to the city? I don't know. Hmm. That's what, if you're on the yes side of this, how do we not know that number? You know, because the big thing I think against is, my gosh, we're subsidizing 850 of 900 million. Billionaire owners can only pony up $50 million. Well, that's not necessarily true, because on top of that 50, then you've got all these yearly lease payments. That's got to be in the millions, obviously, to reserve 41 nights a year in a brand new facility that you know is going to hopefully attract what you said with different concerts and who knows what else. So I think that the yeses have just not. I think there's a way to explain this that makes it pretty understandable why this is a good thing for Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Economically, outside of, hey, it's costing us $850, $900 million, and the damn owner, the wealthy owners won't help. Yeah, they are, just in a different way. Mm-hmm. So, and your point about the sales, this reminds me, on a smaller scale, obviously, but you think about the city of Oklahoma City, where it's situated, and using sales tax revenue as the driver here, you get everybody around to pitch in. It's not just the citizens of Oklahoma City paying for this. It's right. the whole state of Oklahoma.
Right.
And it's the same way the economic hub of Western Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
Right here on I-40. It's Elk City. Well, how is that Pioneer Center built?
Sales tax.
Sales tax, yes. Because there's I mean, it's on the smaller scale. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, I'm going off the top of my head, but the pool, the caps, right? Caps projects in Elk City are sales tax driven. So that's why I feel good. I live in Canute. So I didn't have a vote in that, but I feel good about that because 100% of our grocery shopping is right here in this town. Clothes, merchandise, everything. So I feel good about that, and I'll feel good about shopping in Oklahoma City if this passes, knowing all right, a few of my pennies are going to go to that arena.
Well, and that's why it made so much sense here, when half of the sales tax revenue is generated by the citizens of Elk City, and the other half is from everybody else having to come to Elk City because of where it's situated. Same as OKC. Mm-hmm. It makes a ton of sense to do it that way. It now, does. What are the ramifications if the vote is no?
Oh, you better. It's scary. I think there's going to be. Buzzards are circling already, and I think they're going to ready to pitch and try to get the Thunder to relocate. I heard Mark yesterday talk about this. Somebody asked him this question. Who could be preparing to pitch to the Thunder? Hey, come here. We can build you an arena, or we got a newer arena, more NBA-friendly arena. Las Vegas came to his mind. Kansas City, going back to Seattle. I had one in my mind. I said Kansas City, Las Vegas, going back to Seattle. I had a third one I couldn't remember. Oh, and he also said Nashville.
Yeah,
too.
Nashville would be the one that would. Here's why I would probably lean against Seattle and Vegas. It's because I think they're going to get expansion franchises.
Get an expansion. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that is a landing spot for the Thunder. I really don't, and that might help in some ways. OKC in this, if it was a no vote, or, I mean, you could also say with what happened in Dallas last week or so, with who bought the Mavs and their connection to gambling. I mean, to me, it's a clear shot across the bow at the Texas legislature to pass sports gambling. Now, if that's the case and they will not do it, would the NBA then shift gears if this vote doesn't go Oklahoma City's way and then say, wait a minute, why would we have to expand when we have candidates, the Thunder to go back to Seattle and the Mavs to come out to Vegas to fill those slots?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an interesting aspect, timing-wise, of this as well. Because, bad deal or not for Oklahoma City, whatever you want to say, this is as good as it's going to get from the Thunder.
Right.
And Oklahoma City has zero leverage to make a deal. The Thunder have all the power here. And that's only going to increase because this has been an exclusive negotiation. Leading up to this vote, the Thunder owners and the city of Oklahoma City has been completely exclusive because they want to keep them here. If it's voted down today, then like you said, that opens up Pandora's box. And do you see Seattle? Do you see Vegas? Do you see Kansas City? Nashville is the one where I think would absolutely be in play.
Yeah, that city has been booming lately.
And, there's already an arena there that hosts the SEC tournament.
The Predators, the hockey team.
The hockey. There's already a place ready built for them to come.
Kansas City has the
Sprint Center. It just feels like Nashville is a spot, man, right now in the United States where things are happening.
I think what works for Oklahoma City or works in their favor if this doesn't pass is Clay Bennett is an Oklahoma guy. Oklahoma City guy, and he wants to keep him here. And now my question is the ownership group that he works with, who are they? I don't know.
Who all's still in it?
Yeah, who's all still in it? Do they have roots here? Are they like, hey, we're businessmen. We're going to take this place wherever we can make us some money, and a new arena is where we want to be. So we'll see what happens. My gut feeling says it passes because when it gets to when it gets to political stuff, you know, especially in this state, the loudest is the minority. Does that make sense?
It seems like it. Because I mean, I just think back to the governor's race the last time. All you heard was Stitt's going down. You see these polls coming out of the Oklahoman where it's neck and neck and maybe even Stitt behind. And he won by, what, 15%? It's not even close.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And that's why I'm kind of going. That's why I think my gut feeling tells me that's why I think this thing will pass. I won't call it a landslide or anything, but I just.
It just has to be 50%, right? Because it's an extension.
I believe you're right. I believe you're right. I don't think it's 55 plus.
Yeah, I think it just has to be 50% because it's extending something. It'll be interesting to see the results.
A weird feeling when we don't have a vote and we're helpless to this, yeah, right? We can't even say we went to vote. We just have to sit back and see what happens.
Yeah, it's got a text from Big Wes. They live in Edmond, but they pay Oklahoma City Utilities, so he was able to vote.
He was able to vote. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a lot of question too, people. That's what I was hearing. I listen a lot. I got bored yesterday and was tired of watching reruns of King of the Hill, so I was listening to Mark, and there's a lot of question of if they can or cannot vote. Right. Like, where do I live? And there's like, well, this is how you can do it. You can go online, you can type in your address, and it'll tell you, which is shocking to me. Like, how do you know if you can vote and not vote?
Well, just where are the line, you know? Like
Edmond, I guess
Oklahoma
if
City.
Somebody lives in the village in Oklahoma, like just like smack dab in the middle of Oklahoma City, well, that's a whole different municipality, and you cannot vote in Oklahoma City elections.
Really?
You can only vote in the village elections.
That is strange.
It is. So, I think it was T-Bag or one of the their engineers was saying, I live in the village. I can't vote on this.
Is that true?
That's what he said. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he said.
That's pretty wild.
They have their own police force, trash force, all that. Utilities, everything. It's all right there.
I'll be darned.
Like, if you live in Bethany, I don't think you can. I'm not sure.
Well, good news is we don't have to know.
I just know I live in Canute, and I can't vote in Elk City things. It's pretty simple out here.
Yeah, well, it's really not. some crazy thing. Where I live, I can't vote for Elk City school stuff, which is odd.
Are you in the Merritt School District? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you think when you start to hear these things education-wise about, like, you know, your tax money going with your kid.
Right.
It's not just public versus private stuff. Yeah. There's some other things that entail. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
All right, welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. We've got some Paragon TV coming on tonight. High school hoops in the small schools. Big Elks and Elkettes don't play again until Friday. You've got Arnett going to Leedy. Hobart's at Hollis. Hammond at Navajo. Minko comes out to Merritt. Canute will travel to Arapahoe Butler. So five doubleheaders available tonight on the Paragon TV network, and all five. Oh, nope, never mind. Canute, Arapahoe. I was going to say all five are stepping out of the broadcast schools, but no, Canute and Arapahoe, they're playing each other. So coming off the tournament week, we'll try to do another pick and roll deal or what? No. Wait, what was it called?
The hardwood
roundup.
Roundup. Yeah.
Try to do that tomorrow.
Yeah,
that was fun. People, I got some good feedback from that.
Yeah, I did too. A lot of people responded to that. It's pretty cool.
6:30 to 9, all those games, Paragon TV. You can watch them. Boys scheduled for 8. Also, yesterday, Danny Stutzman decides to come back to Oklahoma. Huge get for the Sooners in every way, right?
Absolutely. Moving on. He was turning into this SEC-type linebacker. And what better way to go into the SEC with him anchoring your defense along with Bowman too. So that's huge for him and huge for the University of Oklahoma.
Some news from the portal this morning. Duke quarterback Riley Leonard has committed to Notre Dame out of the portal. So back-to-back years that the Irish step into the ACC and pluck a quarterback. Last year, obviously, it was Sam Hartman from Wake Forest this year, Riley Leonard for Duke. You know, early in the season, before he got hurt, he was kind of getting some buzz as one of those guys, you know, up toward the upper echelon of the quarterback class even. Then got hurt, you know, and things kind of simmered down for him. But I think that's a really good get for Notre Dame.
Leonard. They're instantly in love with him. They already got their senior video up for him and everything.
He's a fantastic quarterback.
No, he's really good. Yeah.
Okay, I came across this morning, and I think this is truly fascinating. And it's truly fascinating at the specific week that this brings into context. So yesterday, the AP poll, the college men's basketball AP poll came out. Listen to this. This is courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info. Did you see this?
I saw this.
So since 2004, which that dates back to the Oklahoma State went to the Final Four, UConn, Emeka Okafor, won the title. That has been a long time ago, right? Well, this will be the 20th season. If it happens again, this will be 20 years in a row. So it's not like this is some small sample size. So since 2004, every men's basketball national champion has been in the week 6 AP poll top 12. I thought this was specific, right?
That's narrowing it down.
If you just pull one out of nowhere, it's week 6, but every single, so the last, 19 national title winners have been in the top 12 in this week, which is week 6, this AP poll. So what I'm telling you is there's only 12 candidates to win the national title if this stat holds. Who are they? Well, you have 4 Big 12 schools. So a third of the field that's capable of winning the national title, if this stat holds, will come out of the Big 12. Kansas, Baylor, Houston, Oklahoma. There's one Big 10 school, which is Purdue. A Pac-12 school, Arizona. An SEC school is Tennessee. An ACC school is North Carolina. West Coast Conference represented by Gonzaga. And then the only other conference with multiple entrants is the Big East. 3 Big East teams are now capable of winning the national title: Connecticut, Marquette, and Creighton.
So you're saying book your trip to Phoenix now if you're an OU fan.
Well, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, there's only when you get to picking your bracket, if you choose somebody to win the national title outside of these 12, don't do it. You'd be going against 20 years of cold, hard data. Maybe what I'm saying is bookmark this podcast when the brackets come out to remember that I told you all the way back on December 12th that there's only 12 teams that can win the national title.
I'm surprised you haven't asked me yet if I'm still apprehensive about OU.
Now, I've been saving that question for, I guess, when you came back. I forgot to write it down. But I thought about it yesterday, and I thought, no, wait, Jared. Is Oklahoma really good? Are they actually good?
They're athletic. I mean, they're really athletic and fun to watch. The progression of opponents, of quality opponents, is good. Providence was a good win. If you watch that game, the way they got out on Providence early. Providence came back. They held them at bay.
Oh, my gosh. Second half, they just killed them on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So the response.
Me and Daniel were looking at that score as we were getting it text to us going, is that right? They've only given up 3 points in 10 minutes? And turned out it was.
Right. And then Arkansas game, I was in a haze watching that one, but that was impressive.
Arkansas has been wildly disappointing so far.
I was impressed when they beat Duke, and I thought, okay, this is
is a talented team.
Yeah. And Musselman always gets athletes on that team.
He's a great recruiter.
if he can just stay on the sideline and coach him, he'd be great.
You know, I played this yesterday for both Musselman and Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid.
But I will answer that question if I am excited or if I'm more bullish on him than I have been after they play North Carolina.
It's coming up when? Is that this
weekend? About another week and a half, I think. It's not that this – they're off all week this week. They get Green Bay on Saturday.
That's right. Then it comes
around.
And
then I think it's next – a week from tomorrow. So next
– Wednesday.
Whatever date that is. It's that Jumpman Classic thing that they got going on. And that's actually – and I wonder if the rankings, like they're preparing to make this – because they jumped, what, 8 spots all the way up to 11. North Carolina State at 9. They're going to try to get them as close in the rankings before they play each other. And then, you know, we'll see. I mean, it'd be tough. I mean, if they can go to the state of – it's in Charlotte, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where they play this.
That's right.
I always get that confused. Is that North Carolina?
Yes.
If they can go to North Carolina and beat North Carolina, sign me up. Okay. They were undervalued going into the season.
Wow, they've clearly been undervalued going into the season.
Yeah, let's – but – The Big 12 is going to be tough. I mean, you mentioned Houston, Baylor, Texas. So, we'll see. It's a nice surprise, though. And I'm happy for Porter Mosier. Absolutely very happy for him.
Well, I mean, I think you've got two of the biggest surprises in the country, if not number one and number two, right here in the Big 12. With Oklahoma and then with BYU as well.
Oh, I forget.
BYU's undefeated.
BYU is undefeated and ranked. Yes.
All right. Let's look back at the preseason Big 12 conference poll. I've got it pulled up right here. Oklahoma was picked 12th and BYU picked 13th. And those teams are now both in the top 20, undefeated.
I don't know about BYU. We know about Oklahoma and the massive turnover of players that happened. Which is going to be a common thing
now.
It's a thing. You're going to get not just at OU, but everywhere. That's how this is the transfer portal age until it's more regulated. But I wonder if that was why they put him there is because, like, well, we don't know anything about him. We haven't seen these guys play together. We can't compare him to last year. It's a totally different team. So we know about Kansas. We know about Baylor. We know about Houston and in Texas. So by virtue of all that, we got to put him there.
Yeah, it's just what makes this conference so hard.
Yeah, and it's hard to rank. It's just hard to preseason rank anymore.
See, I was trying I gave that stat earlier about the 12 teams that can win the national title.
Uh-huh.
For one person and one person only. And sure enough, here he is touting Kentucky. Once again, since 2004, every national champion since 2004 in men's basketball has been in the top 12 of the week 6 AP poll, which is this week. Kentucky is nowhere to be found. So if you want to blow your bracket up with Kentucky when we get to March, feel free, but they are not one of these 12 teams.
Who got them the other day? Who got them about a week ago?
Oh, somebody terrible. They've lost like 2 bye games.
But,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where they pay somebody
half
a million to come play and lose,
right?
Except for they lost.
But come March, they're going to be playing that second weekend of the tournament, you know.
And they're also not going to win the national title. They're exempt from the national title this year. Just as everybody is outside of, once again, the 12 teams, Oklahoma, Kansas, Baylor, Houston, Purdue, Arizona, Tennessee, North Carolina, UConn, Marquette, Creighton, and Gonzaga. Those are the only 12, according to that stat, that can possibly win the national title. Last thing, I've been saving to get your reaction. I was on the air Thursday night. Childress was in the midst of a comeback to beat the Elkettes.
Mm-hmm.
And a timeout's called late fourth quarter. And the referee was near me at a broadcast position. And I hear, or it might have been Saturday afternoon. Anyhow, I hear, it's the Dodgers. $700 million from a guy in the stands talking to the official. Obviously, you're talking about Shohei Ohtani's contract. Now, did you see last night what he's doing?
Yeah.
Like, Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah,
get lost, bro.
Yeah.
He is deferring $680 million of this contract to be paid to him between 2034 and 2043. That does a few things. Obviously, that means only $2 million of this contract works against the Dodgers. And so payroll taxes, payroll, they're only having to count $2 million of it for the next 10 years. Here is the fascinating thing to me, though, for Ohtani himself. Let's say, obviously this runs to, you know, that those years are right after this contract is over for the next 10, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say he retires and goes back to Japan. Does he avoid
the taxes?
The taxes.
You'd have to.
The California state tax and the...
Well...
There's got to be some sort of international tax. But because he's not...
I mean, it's coming from his employer from the state.
But he's not... But I don't know how it works.
I don't know either.
That's the question, though. Is it going to be coming for the Dodgers, or did they put this into something, some kind of market or what have you?
To avoid that?
No, just because they're... I don't know.
Would that be tax evasion? Isn't that...
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's so much money, it just makes my head spin more so than it already is. So, I don't know. That's crazy. I mean, that's a gamble. Is it a gamble? Or did he make it like this where he's getting paid $2 million a year for so many years so it still opens up the Dodgers to be free to go get some?
Oh, it definitely does that.
He wants to contend. He wants to win. He wants to win titles now. I always felt like it was going to be the Dodgers. I always felt like that was going to give him the best chance to do that. And my next question is, who else do they get? Who's this other guy from Japan that they're looking at?
That pitcher?
Yeah. So, does this free up money for him? I don't know.
Okay, so it says collective bargaining agreement does not place a limit on the amount of money that can be deferred, but teams have to set aside the present-day value of the deferred money. So, in Ohtani's case, that would be around $44 million in cash each year. They had to put that in an escrow account. Ohtani's cost toward the Dodgers' competitive balance tax payroll, which typically uses the annual value of the contract, which would be $70 million, but discounts deferred money. So the Dodgers' competitive payroll or balance of the tax payroll, it'll be about $46 million each season, not two. So it'd be 46 instead of 70. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And Bobby Bonilla Day will look like a drop in the bucket to Shohei Ohtani Day for the 10 years after he retires. Thank you to Rodney, Paul Jones Drug.
Yeah.
It was great Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Lots of stuff going on. Try to hook up with all our broadcasters tomorrow. Talk some high school basketball. Tournament's over. Good showing. Three championships. Canute girls, Eric boys, and Hammond girls, and third place winners. Leedy girls, Eric girls. It's a good week.
Canute boys runner up.
Two Canute boys runner up. We'll talk about the rankings tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.